There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 889, June 7th. 2021, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say bravo, bravo to Checo. Max, 8 miles high and falling fast. LCH, shades of Sao Paulo 2007. Back to Mr. Rogers, the high-flying bird of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, who's the biggest loser, Max or LCH? Vettel looked refreshed. Larson victorious in Sonoma. And just a reminder, we need your contributions. Keep this program on the servers. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Thank you, sir. How am I doing? Well, Mr. Rogers, since Sunday, 10 a.m. EST, Eastern Standard Time, I am smiling from Tampa to Timbuktu. And reason? The Who has the magic bus, and Sir Hamilton has the magic button. Talk about fishing, going deep to come up with excuses for screwing up. But who am I to judge him? What a fight we had in the streets of Baku, Mr. Rogers. As far as Lewis is concerned, what can I say? Golden opportunity not only to retake but have a decent lead in the championship, thrown like a rookie, just like in the first corner on the opening lap of the season finale at Interlagos in 2007, which would have made him the rookie world champion. How incredible that would have been. And I find it very interesting, Toto Wolff saying that Lewis does not make mistakes. Maybe, just maybe, he, like you, finally you and Toto have one thing in common. Both have deleted the 2007 season from their archives and memory bank. And maybe he should get together, he being Toto, get together with Alexander Albon for some cappuccino and apple strudel to tell him how wonderful and mistake-free Lewis Hamilton is. And on the other hand, talk about big losers. Max, find out you can experience spaghetti culture without driving for Ferrari as he kicks his Pirelli after done blowed up with only few laps remaining. And speaking of Sebastian Vettel, I was very happy for him. It was him and also Scuderia Ferrari team he left behind, or maybe the other way around, both leading a Grand Prix for the first time since 2019. So, in the end, what a podium we had on Sunday. No Max, no Mercedes driver. Looks like Dr. Marco has finally found a worthy replacement for number two at Red Bull. Second win for Sergio Perez. This was very heartening. It made me very happy when I saw him hug his old team members, now Aston Martin, but then, you know, forcing it. So that was very nice. And I have to say, maybe you will agree with me, maybe you won't. Even if Max had won the race, which was expected, Sergio was driver of the day for me. He was in close company to Max most of the race. But more importantly, he did his job number one, and that is to keep Sir Lewis behind him. So kudos to him for doing that and for also taking the win. Second place for Seb was very good for the driver, the team, and his fans. He said, "I am over the moon." First podium for Lawrence Stroll-led Aston Martin team. I am also very happy to see Seb on podium, as I hate to see great legends and champions of the sport, which he is, go out in the brake dust of other drivers. And I've seen quite a few legendary drivers keep going and going and then, you know, go out as wonderful nobody. Both Seb and his teammate, the talented Mr. Ripley of racing, ran long stints on their first set of tires. Unfortunately, it did not work out for Lance, as he had his Adelaide 1986 Mansell moment on lap 31. How much did you enjoy this Grand Prix, Mr. Rogers?
Well, at first I wasn't enjoying it that much. I mean, it was sort of processional, and it took time. You had to have patience for this Grand Prix because it wasn't developing. And I thought once the start was over and the crying people over at Mercedes, even though I have to admit that a lot of the fakeness at Mercedes was annoying. I mean, all they did was cry, and all of a sudden we have Lewis Hamilton on the front row. So please, it's a little out of control over at Mercedes, and they got what we call karma. Remember Mr. Palmer?
See.
But the race was fantastic. I loved it when we finally got the excitement. And, of course, the first safety car was exciting. But then you thought for sure that if this was Max's race, and to have a two-lap sprint at the end of the red flag was so exciting and wonderful. And Fernando finishing sixth. This was a great race.
Oh, absolutely. And I had a feeling, you know, the thing is, interestingly, this track, even though it's a street circuit, you are full throttle almost as much as time as at Monza, over 75% of the time. So that's very impressive. And having this wide, long straight, which is the longest straight, they say, in Formula One now, and some very, very tight situations there, I just had an inkling that most likely there will be somebody will go into the wall, or somebody will push his own teammate into the wall, and there'll be safety car. So that was expected. One thing I did not expect was, I knew, because when you have Lewis and Max right behind you, life is going to be very, very tough, as the driver of the second Mercedes is finding out these days. So I had a very strong inkling that Charles Leclerc is not going to win the race, and his lead lasted just a lap anyway. So shall we look at Colli before we get into the race nitty-gritty details?
By all means.
Lance into the barriers and out in Q1. Second red flag of the session, thanks to Italian Jesus, also known as Antonio Giovinazzi. LCH and Max at the top at the end of Q1. No surprise there. Third red flag in Q2, when Ricciardo goes into the barrier and Sebastian very unhappy, as both fail to reach Q3. Red Bull 1-2 with Max and Checo ahead of LCH. Business as usual so far. Two desperados who are trying to come to their senses also made it to Q3. Yuki was 4th and Machismo Yo Dios Nando 10th. Now we come to Q3 and run for the pole. Crash fest continues in Q3 as both Yuki and Carlito crashed in the closing minutes. Once again, Charles Leclerc in the Ferrari on pole position ahead of LCH and Mad Max. Pierre Gasly equaled his best Colli result by taking 4th on the grid. So 4 different teams in the top 2 rows, and that's good for what you call competition. But Mr. Rogers, just my 2 yens. When Yuki set a fast time in Q3, I really thought the team should bring him in before he does what he has been doing lately. And that reminded me of a situation when your third favorite driver behind Nando Lewis, third being Danica Patrick, when she was competing once upon a time at Indy 500 with Bobby Rahal's team, and that's the team that brought her into IndyCar racing, she went out and did a very quick lap on the opening day of qualifying for Indy. And then she wanted to go back again. She was very safely in the show And Bobby Rahal refused, which I think was a very smart decision, because when you have young, aggressive drivers, you know, they're going to push the envelope and the result may not be very nice. So I think I was not surprised with Yuki going into the barriers. Okay, despite taking pole, Leclerc told Pretty Boy Floyd, Johnny Herbert, it was a shitty lap. Pole number 9 for the Monegas driver. LCH happy with second on the front row after not being the usual pace setter in free practice. Max called the qualifying just a stupid qualifying, to be honest, but it's a street circuit, these things can happen. I was 100% sure winner will be Max or Lewis. Did you think any other way, sir?
No, because I figured with Lewis at the front and Leclerc for sure, no, I knew the Ferrari didn't have the pace. I figured Leclerc would get passed by the 5th, 6th, 7th lap. And then it would be just Max and Hamilton. Boy, I was pretty close, huh?
Yes. If they're not taking each other out, maybe they will just take themselves out, as it turns out in this race. So, the race. Leclerc led the field from pole position. Always a racing pleasure to see prancing horse galloping ahead. Machismo, yo Dios, Nando was 7th at the end of the opening lap. But only a lap later, Lewis took the lead without any DRS, and I thought this will set up a battle royale with Max, who moved into second place on lap 7 with DRS deployment. A lap later, Sergio made 2 Red Bulls in the top 3 after passing pole sitter. And by then, we had already lost Mr. Esteban Ocon because of engine done blowed up on lap 4, so that was not good. This is interesting, Mr. Rogers, for me in today's motor racing. Technologically laden and overladen Formula One car. Even though Max got within 1 second of Lewis, he was still unable to pass him despite the use of DRS till number 44 came into the pits after 11 laps, and that made a Red Bull 1-2. Lewis, as usual, I know you want to call him a loser now, but he was pissed off when he came behind both Red Bull, not just one. So at this time, Sebastian Vettel was 3rd. Talk about old glory coming back. Lap 13 was a lucky number for Max as he was able to come into the pits and get ahead of LCH on the track. A lap later, Checo did more damage by coming ahead of lucky Lewis. We now have Sebastian Vettel in an Aston Martin still running on soft tires leading the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. Talk about beautiful dreamer and driver. I am very surprised in Baku, despite the longest straight in Formula One, a talent like Lewis, again having DRS, was unable to pass Checo. We want racing cars designed to allow the famous 1979 Dijon duel. After 20 laps, the big surprise for me was Tsunoda was in the points, not in the barriers. He is very hot-headed and, of course, very talented, but somebody needs to remind him that after this season, his employer will be Red Bull, not homies of Honda. And I'm sure you heard him say, shut up to his team, which he was constantly saying in Formula 3 and Formula 2. I think he needs to be careful because you don't want to cross paths with, forget Dr. Marco, before you get to Dr. Marco, crossing paths with Franz Tost is not a good idea. I think a man from Manteca can vouch for that. What say you?
I agree. I think he is a little snippy, but that could be worked out. You know, give him more seaweed and steamed rice and tell him to mellow out, man.
Well, he likes pasta and spaghetti also.
Well, there is your problem. Steamed rice and seaweed. Forget the spaghetti.
What about the tofu?
Tofu's good, but only with a little sauce.
Okay. Hibachi sauce?
Konnichiwa.
There you go. Okay, sir, moving forward, back to track. Lap 30 of 51, the 2 Red Bulls were still dancing in the streets of Baku and running ahead of LCH. Stroll was 4th, Gasly 5th, Leclerc 6th, and Sebastian 7th. A lap later, Lance, still running on his first set of tires, suffered a done blowed up, which caused a big bang with the wall. This brought out the safety car. Harum Scarum was expected at the restart, a good opportunity for Lewis to at least leap ahead of one of the Red Bulls. Green means go on lap 36. Lewis tried very hard to grab second from Sergio, but the Mexican driver had other ideas. Max was not too far ahead, but was comfy in his lead. It was looking like a tight bunch at the end, but in same position in the top five, which also included Sebastian Vettel and Monsieur Pierre Gasly. Oh, by the way, did you know Mercedes had two cars in this race?
Yes. He was busy coming up with a new salad dressing for his number one.
There you go. At this stage, he was running in solid 14th behind Alonso, Raikkonen, and Giovinazzi, driving a Mercedes, same car that Lewis was driving. Wonder what's going on there. Lap 40, Max set the fastest lap to get one extra point, or so he thought. A lap later, Ted Kravitz reported on Sky TV that after speaking to Pirelli people, he said they have assured him following Lance's crash, no worries made on cars running with harder tires. Perez had Max in DRS range and Lewis was over a second behind the second Red Bull. Max has never been on the podium in Baku and this was looking very good to be on the top step of the podium. Lap 45, Max 4 seconds ahead of teammates, 6 laps to go. Another win and extended championship lead almost in the bag. And you may ask yourself, what can go wrong? Well, the answer was blowing in the wind and on the face of Christian Horner a lap later, as Max also had his moment from Adelaide 1986. This time, nobody from the Red Bull team got on the team radio to say, "Good evening, Mr. Mansell." You remember that, Mr. Rogers?
One of my favorite moments in my entire career.
Yeah, I love that also, how it came from nowhere. A kick on left rear tire was all Max could do before heading to Red Bull Energy Station. His comfort zone, what otherwise has been house of pain for the second driver in that team. Red flag promise. Did you like the concept of red flag, or were you interested in seeing a race under caution?
Well, I was surprised that it was red flagged, but I think, you know, Christian Horner, once he blurted out there could be a safety issue with the Pirellis because both tires on the same side of the car blew, I think Massey felt he had to stop it because if not and something else happened, it would have been an awkward moment. So I thought it was the right thing to do. Red flag.
Okay. Well, red flag promised a standing start and mad dash to the checkered flag. A golden opportunity for the lucky one to grab the lead and momentum from Max. You know, it's interesting. I was at the St. Petersburg IndyCar race a few weeks ago. So basically what I was telling this young kid at St. Petersburg, that if the drivers who are ahead of you in the championship, or at least the main challenger, if he drops out for whatever reason and is not going to score points, then you don't want to screw up. If it's fourth place, take it. If it's third place, take it. Because those 8, 10, 12, 15 points can make a huge, huge difference. So, before the restart for the 2-lap dash, Lewis brakes for smoking like a Union Pacific locomotive. He did steam ahead of Sergio but ran out of track to make the first turn. That's all Perez needed to proclaim Viva la Revolucion in Azerbaijan. This is the first time since the 2012 US Grand Prix in Austin that both Mercedes cars finished the race outside the points. The key word is finished the race, because the 2016 Spanish Grand Prix shenanigans between Lewis and Nico does not count, as you know, they were out of the race. Now let me ask you a question, sir. Were you expecting some argy-bargy between Lewis and Sergio into the first corner?
So I was, but Sergio has always been a very clean fighter. So I thought this was going to be interesting. And I think LCH was already sort of perturbed that the gods did not grant him the lead and the win in a Grand Prix. So I thought the mistake was already in his mind. When he when all the brakes locked up and he went straight, I almost expected it. It was Perez's moment. Mr. Cool, Mr. Tire Management, Mr. Mature, Mr. Machismo de Mexico.
Sebastian was his usual, yes, 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 after taking second and telling the team, it's a podium, it's a wrap. I don't know if he did this, but I really wanted to see him do the, you know, walk like an Egyptian routine that he does. Did he do that?
He did not do that.
Okay. Hopefully we will see that this year. Pierre Gasly was the way he talks usually and when he finishes high. As usual, I don't have words. I was listening to a podcast last year when he won the Italian Grand Prix, and he kept saying, I don't have words. And they counted how many times he said, I don't have words. It was many, many times. But he's a good kid. He's doing a very good job for himself. I don't know what Dr. Marco will do with him at the end of the season. It will be hard to tell him you're fired if he wins another race. But with a couple of young guns doing well in the Red Bull Junior program, he really needs to get a win or do make something happen soon. Charles Leclerc, by the way, this was the first podium for all these three drivers this season. So that's very good. Pole sitter Charles Leclerc was fourth, which is much better than last race when he started from pole as well. Lando Norris was fifth and keeps his mojo as numero uno at McLaren, at least for now. And now the greatest driver of all time, Fernando Alonso. Two-time world champion finished behind Lando and ahead of Yuki. I wondered if the host is singing, look what they've done to my song.
Look what they've done to my song.
What is your tune, sir?
Look at what they've done to my song.
Taking me to Dakar and Brickyard, right?
Exactly.
Do you think he'll continue next year?
I hope not.
I really don't see... I can see McLaren maybe get a win this year or next year, but I don't see any hope for Alpine, Renault, or Matra, or whatever they want to call that car.
I don't think it's called a Matra, but that would be nice, wouldn't it? No, of course not. It's over. It's over for Renault. The Alpine dream is going to go puff. We'll see what happens. But yeah, Carlos Ghosn is in the news all the time now, reminding Renault what a creep he was. All this F1 stuff could go away really quickly.
But at least he's enjoying some authentic Lebanese hummus in Beirut.
Very authentic.
Exactly. Okay, Yuki Tsunoda, the Alpha Tauri Tsunami, grabbed some much-needed points by finishing 7th. So that was good for him. Sainz Jr., lucky to finish 8th after taking the escape road and reversing to rejoin the race. The reverse was pretty good. He has adjusted to his new team much better and faster than the man who replaced him at McLaren, and that is Mr. Daniel Ricciardo. He was 9th. But the good thing is, you know, his 9th place finish made both McLaren and AlphaTauri as the only two teams to put both cars in the points. You see any revival for Ricciardo this season?
None. He's not comfortable with the car. And even Norris says that he can't really drive the way he likes to drive. So, I don't know. I think the McLaren is peculiar, and I believe they need to fix that for next year.
Yes, I mean, my call was that we might even see him win a race this year. I mean, it'll be lucky if he can get on the podium. But I'm very happy to see Seb showing some TF, as you would call. And, sir, here is another big event. You know, Kimi Raikkonen scored his first point of the season from his 10th place finish. Amazing. You know, this guy made his Grand Prix debut in 2001 with Alonso and with Montoya. And here we are, 20 years later, he's driving for the same team now. But the guy is very quick, you can't deny that. But I think it's time for some young blood in Formula One. What say you?
I agree. It's time to shuffle the house, get rid of these old guys. Yes, retirement's not so bad. Fernando's going to love it.
Yes. Okay, sir, in the championship, so much happened, but nothing has changed at the top. Max Verstappen leading, 105 points. Lewis second, 101. Sergio Perez, third, 69. Lando Norris, 4th, 66. 5th, Charles Leclerc, 52. And Lewis's teammate, Valtteri Bottas, is 6th, behind Perez, Norris, Leclerc, on 47 points. How sad is that? That's very bad. In the Constructors' Championship, Red Bull Honda, 174. Mercedes, 148. Ferrari, 94. So, man, the things are going very good for Red Bull. Now, you must be excited about the next race. Will you tell us where that is, Mr. Rogers?
Paul Ricard.
Have you been to Paul Ricard?
I have not been to Paul Ricard.
Yeah, it's in a beautiful location. Love that Mistral Strait. And, of course, Eric Bouyer is the promoter of the French Grand Prix. You think Lewis will walk away?
Nope. I think he's a bit jaded. He's going to have to detox. He's going to be drinking a lot of carrot juice and a lot of green tea. No more meat, no more potatoes for him. And, yeah, he's going to have a hard time. Bottas, we don't even appear. He'll be there, but almost invisible.
Well, you know what? Max will bring out the Max in any car, no question about it. But I think that Honda engine and the Red Bull chassis, they have really become very, very competitive. Obviously, Mercedes does not have the advantage they had 2-3 years ago. And I think, you know, now that you mentioned Bottas will not do anything. And especially with Sergio Perez winning a race now, what do you think about bringing George Russell into Mercedes midway through the season and Bottas back to Williams? You think that's a possibility? You think that should happen?
If it was Ron Dennis, it would happen. But this is not cutthroat, testicular stuff. Toto Wolff is very loyal to his people, and he will not do that to Bottas. He's one thing he is loyal, and he's a good guy. And he's not a cutthroater like Patrick Head or something like that. So, no, that's not going to happen. But in the meantime, I think it's going to be interesting to see if LCH and Toto can bounce back. Because right now, Toto is frazzled. He's sort of confused. He doesn't understand. But I know what's going to happen. In the next 2 weeks, they're going to listen to German marching music. They're all going to eat the same food, talk the same talk, and walk the same walk over at Mercedes. And they're going to get this turned around. But will it be in time? And like you said, the power duo at Red Bull with Perez is fantastic.
You know, talking of German marching music, I have an idea. So they can really get into the mentality of Uber domination. Maybe they can ditch their Learjet or Cessna Citation and get an old Junkers transport plane.
That would be good, or I think the U-boat that was used to film Das Boot is available for cross-Atlantic trips.
Or maybe, you know, Toto and Lewis, I don't know if Lewis knows how to fly, they can swoop down on the track, you know, in a Stuka.
A Stuka would be good, but watch out, Fernando doesn't like the Stuka.
Yes, nor does Robert Kubica. Gee, I wonder why. But we need to get back on track here.
Okay, since we're going to get back, you're thirsty, I'm famished. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back after these brief messages.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Fisichella, and you are listening to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Rogers, we'll stay in Baku for Formula 2 Action. Did you watch any of the F2 races?
I did watch some of the F2 races. A lot of action, a lot of excitement. But yeah, I caught the F2 race on Chinese television.
Oh, that's good. Well, they have a Chinese guy leading the championship. Okay, first sprint race on Saturday won by Russian Ferrari Jr. Robert Schwartzman. Dan Ticktum of Williams Driver Academy was second with Renault hopeful from China, we just mentioned, Guan Yu Zhu, third man on the podium. Man who took pole for the feature race, Red Bull Jr. Liam Lawson, was out on the opening lap into the wall of voodoo in Baku. and Liam is from New Zealand, and I have a very strong buy rating on him if he was a stock. Saturday's second sprint race was won by Yuri Vips of Estonia. He is also one of Dr. Marco's lab rats. First podium and first win of the season for the young man. And I met him a couple of years ago at Zandvoort when I had gone for a F3 race. Nice young kid, and he was very pleased to tell me that he comes from a small country, but they have many talented young drivers. There is a rally driver, Ott Tänak, who's doing very well. He's also from Estonia. German David Beckmann was second, with man from Mumbai, Jahan Daruvala, third. Sunday's feature race, second win from three races in one weekend for Yuri Vips. Hopefully, Dr. Marco will now promote him from a lab rat to Mighty Mouse. He is also one of the guys they would like to put in Formula One. Aussie rookie Oscar Piastri from Melbourne was second, Robert Schwartzman third. In the championship, Chinese driver Guan Yu Zhu still leads the championship, 78 points, Oscar Piastri 73, Schwartzman 66. Of the top three, only Piastri is in his first season of Formula 2 and doing a fair dinkum job. Last year, he won the Formula 3 championship in his rookie season, and prior to that, he was Formula Renault Euro Cup champion. We may already have a Danny Ric replacement on hand. MotoGP from Circuit de Catalunya in Barcelona. 5 pole position in a row for your homeboy, Yamaha rider Fabio Quartararo. Victory to KTM rider from Portugalistan, Miguel Oliveira. Johan Zarco was second for Ducati, and Jack Miller, also on a Ducati, was third. This was interesting, Mr. Rogers. Pole sitter Quartararo was third at the end of the race, but was given a penalty for cutting a chicane and then taking off his chest guard, and with the penalty dropped him to sixth. It was very bizarre to see him race in the closing stages with the, you know, with his racing suit open and no chest guard there. He still leads the championship ahead of three Ducati riders. Marc Marquez had another crash and another DNF, which was very disappointing because I'm a huge fan of Marc Marquez. Since his comeback, he is more like Bottas of bikes. Before that, he was LCH of two wheels. Next is Nürburgring 24-hour race. I tried to watch this race and I just could not get any action. And then I said, okay, I'll move on, because there is, you know, Italian Formula 4. So many things available on YouTube these days. You can even watch the Renault Clio Cup live racing all across France. Anyway, going back to the Nürburgring 24 hours, race was won by Porsche 911, driven by Kevin Estrake, Michael Christensen, and Matteo Cairoli. Okay, and the second car was BMW, driven by Sheldon van der Linde, Marco Wittmann, Martin Tomczyk, and American Conor De Filippi. Interesting story here, Mr. Rogers, with just 59 laps were completed. Now, this is 59 laps of the 14-mile track. The race was suspended for more than 14 hours due to fog, and that's the reason I could not see action. And this is the shortest in the event's history, surpassing the previous record, which was set in 1992. And, sir, interesting here, among the drivers, Michael Christensen, he's from Denmark, and when he was in karting, he was supposed to be the next big thing in motor racing. And he did very well in Formula BMW, but things just did not work out. And the other kid here, Marco Wittmann, you know, we have interviewed him a couple of times over the years. He at one time was managed by Willy Weber of Michael Schumacher fame, and he was on his way to Formula One, but then Esteban Gutierrez came on the scene in Formula BMW and rained on everybody's parade. Okay, sir, in other news, MotoGP, Remy Gardner, son of Wayne Gardner, will move into MotoGP in 2022 with KTM. His Papito was the first Australian to win the MotoGP championship back in 1987. Jack Doohan, who is son of another Aussie MotoGP legend, Mick Doohan, continues his ride on four wheels with Red Bull program and F3. And you know, I had a brief chat with Mick Doohan when I went to the Las Vegas Scusa event, where Max was there, George Russell was there, and Jack was also racing. It was nice to chat with Mick at that time. And sir, some sad news. Mansoor Oje passed away, which was very sad news. You know, he was born into Saudi royal family. I think his mother was French, and he spent most of his life in Europe, Switzerland. And first he got involved in motor racing through Frank Williams, through the tag company. Okay, so that's how he came into motor racing with Williams, and then Ron Dennis brought him over to McLaren with the promise of having a championship-winning engine designed and built by Porsche, if only Mansoor Oje would finance. And he did that, and, you know, rest is history. And, you know, I was reading about him. It's interesting. When he was a young man, he went to college, Menlo College in Northern California, which is not too far from where you are sitting. Of course, he owns a lot of businesses, did very well for himself. And some years ago, he was seriously ill, and that's when Ron Dennis did a palace coup and got Martin Whitmarsh out. And that's what really soured the relationship between Mansoor Oje and Ron Dennis. So when he came back and got the chance, you know, he evened the score by pushing Ron Dennis out. So very sad to hear. And let me just say what Zach Brown had to say about him. And I will quote him. The passing of Mansoor Oje has devastated everyone at McLaren Racing. Mansoor has been etched into the heart and soul of this team for nearly 40 years and was intrinsic to its success. He was a true racer in every sense, ultra-competitive, determined, passionate, and above all, perhaps his defining characteristics. Sporting. No matter the intensity of the battle, Mansoor always put sport first. He was a titan of our sport, yet modest, unassuming, and disarming to all he encountered. His easy manner, sharp wit, and warm humor touched all those who were fortunate to know him. End of quote. And you know, it's very, very sad, but this is part of life. One, every few weeks or a few months, some very famous person from the world of motor racing is passing away, and that makes me very sad. Any thoughts on Mansoor Oje, sir?
Yeah, I was stunned. You know, he was a young man, 68 years old. So that always hits home, you know, here at F1 Weekly. But yeah, very sad. And my condolences to his entire family.
Yes, sir. And sir, as they say, show must go on, but not in Singapore. I think the Formula One has, not I think, but it's official, Formula One has said sayonara to Singapore this year because of the COVID situation. But positive thing, if there is one, we may have a double barrel or a double shot in Texas, and that will be fantastic if we have two Formula One races in 2 weeks in the United States of America at the same location. I will go to at least one of the races, and if I can do the double shot, I'll do that too. So we have time for a Baku goodie bag?
We always have time for a goodie bag, Nasser.
Okay, sir. You know, the interesting thing about Azerbaijan Grand Prix, even though it's not been there for 30 years, is so far we have no repeat winners. With Lewis outbreaking himself, Baku City Circuit remains its record of having a different winner each race. So that's good. Clash of the Bulls. Mark Webber's clash with his teammate in Istanbul. And that was the beginning of the end of his relationship with the Red Bull team. Daniel Ricciardo had his Istanbul moment in Baku in 2018 as he ran into the back of his teammate, the mighty Max, and who was in no mood to let his teammate by, which I'm sure has not changed. Do you remember that incident, sir?
Very much so. Laughter everywhere.
Yes. And then we had the Bottas done blowed up very late in the race, and of course debris on the track. Cut his tire and victory went to your second favorite driver. Stroll got his first podium. Do you remember when Stroll was on the final stretch after the final turn? He was in second place. And then at the last second, Bottas beat him to grab second. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember the radio exchanges. It was exciting.
Yes, and my favorite radio is when Leclerc crashed a few years ago, and he was saying, "I am stupid. I am stupid." So Azerbaijan has provided some interesting moments even in the few years. It's been on the schedule, and of course, there was no Azerbaijan Grand Prix last year. You know, I've spoken to a couple of media, Formula One media people who go to all the races, and they both have spoken very highly of this track. And so I may have to check it out one of these days. And sir, Azerbaijan is an oil-rich nation, so Bernie came knocking on the palace door to put them on the world map. I just wonder how many people canceled their trip to Bali and went to Baku. Inquiring minds would like to know. I wonder if this nation has even a national karting championship, let alone a local version of DTM or Le NASCAR. And sir, I don't know, if you are seated, grab your seatbelt, please. We have some explosive news. Whoa. Nikita Mazepin in demand. Wanted by the Russian army to complete his 1 year service. A requirement for every comrade in Russia. Let's see if his dad's billions can buy him a get out of army card, or will there be a 365-day siege of Nikita? Okay, sir, we started with 8 miles high, and we're going to end with 8 miles high, courtesy of Roxy Music. Thank you for listening. Till we meet next time behind palatial walls. Thank you.
Good night.